So good to spend time in God's Word together. If you would, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1 this morning. Mark chapter 1, we're going to really look at one verse only, verse 35. If you're joining with us on campus and you don't have a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to look underneath the seat in front of you or underneath the seat you're sitting in. There should be a blue Bible there. I would encourage you to take that Bible, open up to page 928. We'd love for you to not only use that Bible this morning, but please take it home with you. Encourage you to study God's Word throughout the week, and if you choose to worship with us in the future, we'd ask that you bring that Bible with you as we continue to study God's Word together. We are walking through, in a mini-series, the core values of our church. Last week we looked at worship. This week we're going to look at the importance of growing in the Lord. Again, these are just snapshots of how important these core values are, so you're not going to get the full weight of everything just in one message, but I do pray that it would realign our hearts and minds and reestablish proper routines in our life, because these core values are so, so important. So this morning, as we look at the core value of grow, here really is the big idea is simply this, the importance of spending time with God. I'm going to tell you right out of the gates, today is extremely practical. I pray that it would be so simple to understand how important it is to spend time with the Lord, that we would continue that practice if it is a part of our daily life, and if it's not, that that would be something that the Holy Spirit would use to move us to a place of greater dependency on Him. And so again, the big idea, just the importance of spending time with God. You know, when you think about growing in your relationship with the Lord, your fellowship with the Lord, it's extremely critical. I mentioned earlier that I got a text from someone who discipled me when I was 19, when I first got saved. Listen, I'm certainly not a perfect man in any way, but I am not the man I used to be. And first and foremost, that's the transformation of the Lord. But also, God has graciously put people in my life to encourage me. And so, we must never forget that no matter how long we've been believers, spend time in church, it's important to continue to posture ourselves in a way that we are continually growing and maturing in the Lord. We must never forget that we have a tremendous enemy that would love to do anything and everything to put obstacles in our way to hinder our growth in the Lord. Those obstacles may be your own classmates at school. They may be your coworkers at work. Unfortunately, they may be people that even come to worship on Sunday morning. They may be politicians, they may be the things that you read on social media, they may be people in your own home. But Satan has an agenda, and his agenda is not God's agenda. And so we must be reminded that it is important for us to spend time with the Lord. You know, Satan wants to derail that time because he wants to convince us that we have no need of God. And that God's Word is no longer true, it's no longer relevant, and so it's important for us to spend time with Him. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Peter spent his whole second letter talking about the importance of sustaining faith, the preservation or perseverance of faith, and understanding that as the days continue to grow, and they are, that moral corruption will be all around us. False teaching will be more abundantly clear to us. And in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ, that great day of anticipation and expectation, we are to continually grow in Christ. To stay grounded, to not lose stability, to not lose sight of that foundation. This is why Peter says to take care. That phrase "take care" means to be on guard. There is something about us as believers in Jesus Christ that is very much on the offensive, and that guard is offensive. We are to be ready for battle. The Scripture says that we are to continue, ongoing, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, none of us have reached complete maturity in the Lord. Though that is our desire for ourselves and our desire for those around us, None of us have arrived yet. It doesn't matter how long you've been attending a church. It doesn't matter if you have a seminary degree or not. It doesn't matter if you can quote scripture. It doesn't matter any of those things. Those things are important, don't get me wrong. But the Lord has not completed what He started in us. But He will. He will. So how do we continually grow in the Lord? Well, that goes back to our big idea. We must spend time with Him. We must spend time with Him. You know, when you think about the life of Jesus, now Jesus was a very busy man, right? In Mark chapter 1, it tells us that on that day, He spent time teaching Scripture. On that day, He healed many people. People were waiting at the door to be healed. He cast out demons, all these different things. And yet the Scripture tells us and reminds us in Mark chapter 1 that He spent time with the Father. He spent time with His Father. You see, Jesus faces the same temptation that you and I face. We must remember that Jesus is not only 100% God, but He's also 100% man. And so He was up against that temptation of being exhausted, being overwhelmed. The fact that everybody has needs, right? Everybody wants something from you. They need something from you. Especially Jesus. And so Jesus was confronted with a busy, busy schedule and a late night. But He still prioritized time with His Father. Think about what happened on the next morning after that amazing day of ministry, by the way. Right? Who wouldn't want to teach God's Word, cast out demons, and heal a lot of people? I mean, that sounds like pretty awesome to me. But look at what the Scripture says in verse 35 in Mark chapter 1. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. He spent time with His Father. Everything Jesus did, everything that Jesus was able to accomplish, was done through the overflow of His relationship with His Father. You know, if Jesus needed time with His Father, how much more do you and I need time with our Father? So as we look at just that one verse, what is it that we learn about Jesus' time with the Father? Well, the first thing we learn is that time with God is intentional time. It's intentional time. The Scripture says at the beginning of verse 35, in rising, it means that Jesus rose up. Jesus rose up. That verb that is used for rising up is in the active tense, not the passive tense. Well, what does that mean? Passive would mean that someone had to get him up, right? I think about in my home, Monday's coming, right? School day. There's one person in our home that has the privilege, the honor, and yes, the duty to wake up kids to go to school. And that happens to be me. I got two options. You can either come in sweetly, and then if necessary, get a little more demanding, right? Some parents do that. Or you can choose the hard route and then get soft, right? I have chosen in this season of life to be hard and then soft. So first thing in the morning, I flip the lights on. They can't stand it. And then if they cover their face, I rip their clothes. They're not their clothes. They rip their... Edit that on the video, please. That's no bueno. No bueno. That didn't happen. I ripped the covers off. Man, that was pretty bad. And then I let them marinate for a little bit, and then I'll go in there and say, okay, honey, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. They need someone to wake them up, right? Well, it's in the active voice in this passage, and it's telling us that Jesus woke Himself up. The reality is that even though He had a incredible busy day, some of y'all are going to let that one go. I see you still laughing. He had an incredible busy day. When He went to bed that night, He went to bed with the intentionality of what? Spending time with His Father. And so He rose up. It was an intentional choice. It was something that He initiated. It was something that was for purpose. J. Oswald Sanders says this, "We are now and we will be in the future only as intimate with God as we really choose to be." Let that sink in for just a moment. That this fellowship with the Lord, we have a responsibility in that. It's an intentional choice that we make to spend time with Him. And we see that in the life of Jesus. We also see that time with God is priority time. Time with God is priority time. After a long day and night of ministry, what did Jesus do the next morning? It says, and rising up very early in the morning while it was still dark. Most commentators would say that that time frame would have probably been between 3 and 4 a.m. I know, that sounds like a lot, right? But he got up around 3 or 4 a.m. in this particular case. Now, that doesn't mean that the only time you can spend with the Lord is first thing in the morning. That's not what it's saying. But what we are being communicated by God's word is that it's a priority, meaning that time with God is not leftover time. I mean, think about that for just a minute. Oftentimes, we as Christians, we have conditioned ourselves to, if I have time, I will spend time with the Lord. I'll try to fit him in. I'll try to squeeze him in. And that's not what we see in the life of Jesus. We see Jesus not giving his leftover time, but he's giving the priority of his time to his Father. I mean, think about it. We're so busy, right? We have so much to do, so much to accomplish, so many voices, so many needs. We're moms, dads, followers of Christ. We go to school. We do all these different things, and we're busy. And they're not all bad things. Don't get me wrong. But the one thing we must do is prioritize our time with the Lord. Here's what I realize in my life, that if I don't prioritize my time with the Lord, someone else will take that time from me. Someone else or something else will, 10 times out of 10, take that time from me. Can you all relate with that? Do you understand how important it is to prioritize that time? I love what Spurgeon says. I came across a quote on Friday. It's not on the screen, but I think you'll appreciate it. He says, "Look no man in the face till you have seen the face of God. Speak with none till you have had speech with the Most High." How important is that? Before I see somebody else, I need to see his face. Before I speak to somebody else, I need to speak with him. It reminds me, funny story, hopefully I don't get in trouble for this one, but my wife, every once in a while, I have these crazy dreams. And she'll wake up that morning, and she's mad at me already. And I'm thinking, I didn't do nothing. And every once in a while, she'll have this dream that she says, "I dreamed that you were married to somebody else and had an entirely different family, and I'm angry at you." And I'm thinking, didn't happen, hasn't happened, and by grace, through faith, and obedience to the Lord, it will never happen, right? But she's still upset at me. And we have these crazy dreams. How many times have you woken up and you're amped up about something already? You're ready to just go get someone, right? Listen, our heart and our mind can be a very dangerous thing. And so it's important for us to prioritize that time. The scripture says in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" The reality is, if you have been born again, right? God has given you a new heart. He has given you a new mind. He has given you new loves and new desires, all those different things. And yet, we find ourselves still battling the old mind, the old heart. And so it's important for us to prosper ourselves before the Lord. The fact is that we can wake up first thing in the morning and already have an agenda that's not God's agenda. We can already have a desire that's not God's desire. We can already have a thought that is not God's thought. And so it's important for us, if we don't set that priority time up right, we'll begin to believe the lie. And when we begin to believe lies, we begin to live out those lies, either in action or in thought. Your spiritual, emotional, and mental health daily, in large part, rises and falls based on your time alone with the Lord. And here's the reality. Your time with the Lord doesn't remove the battles of life, but it does prepare you. It equips you for the battles of life. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen this week. Now, we do have things on our calendar, right? Appointments to go to, meetings to be a part of, all those different things. But life happens. And so when you prepare yourself and that priority is there, you're equipped for the battle that is before you. So make it a priority. The third thing that we see in the life of Jesus is time with God is focus time. Focus time, and this is probably very difficult for many of us. That means it was without distractions, right? Without distractions. He goes on to say in verse 35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place." Jesus removed himself from the distractions of life. And I believe that's one of the greatest enemies that we face. Something is always talking to us. Well, what distracts you in your life? iPhone? A Facebook, video game, thoughts about work, thoughts about family, you know, all those different things. So we need to posture ourselves in a way that our mind and heart is fixated on him and him alone. Things like sports, things like even church. can distract us from spending time with Him. At the end of the day, what we allow to distract our minds and our hearts from time with God will ultimately define the quality of time that we have with the Lord. Scripture says that it was private time as well. He went to a place of solitude, a place that was removed. Jesus went to a place that was secluded so He could be alone with His Father. Alone time means you and you alone with God. That's it. And this is hard for families because we have kids and we have spouses and we have jobs and we have all those. It's hard for everybody. And so there has to be a commitment by the body of Christ, if it be in your marriage or in singleness or whatever it is, there has to be a community effort, discipline, to make sure that we are encouraging time alone with God. Not just with adults, but with our children as well. We are establishing habits at a young age for our kids, and they're basically going to repeat what they saw. They're going to repeat what is acceptable, what is guided in their life. We see that it was consistent. Jesus' time with the Father was consistent. The Scripture says He departed and went out. It carries the idea of repetition. So it wasn't just on that particular morning that He spent time with His Father, but over and over and over again, daily, He's constantly spending time with His Father. No matter how busy He was, no matter how overwhelmed He may have been. Again, we can't rob Jesus of His humanity, right? Because that is extremely important for us to keep in our minds. And so it was focused time. But we also see that time with God is personal time. Personal time. Verse 35 closes with this phrase. Scripture says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed." We get a glimpse of Jesus' prayer time a few times in the New Testament. And His prayer time wasn't, you know, as simple as, "Thank you for the food, amen." I'm sure He did thank the Lord for His daily bread, right? But man, you see Jesus Christ exposing His heart and His needs to His Father. You go to John 17, you get an incredible picture of the dependency that Jesus had on His Father. And His mind and His heart was fixated on the glory of the Father. And that's how He wanted to live His life. And so think about some of the things that you and I need to do in our personal time. We need to cry out to God. We need to be honest with God. Where we have failed, honest. Where we've expressed pride and arrogance, honest. He already knows it, right? But we're verbalizing what He knows, and that's a very humble act in the first place. The fact is that we need to praise God for all that we've already seen Him accomplish, but we also need to pray and ask God for the wisdom and the strength and the discernment to continue His mission in our life, if it be in the neighborhood, or if it be at a workplace, or be in your mom group, or whatever it is, big, small, whatever. God's mission is huge, and we happen to be a part of it. So there's private solitude, intimate time with the Father, personal time with the Father. So when it says that He prayed, you're talking gut-wrenching, honest prayers. How do you think He got through temptation in the wilderness? He did it because of the time that He had already spent with the Father. So where do you struggle the most with your time alone with God? Is it the intentional part, the priority part, the focus part, being personal? I think being personal with the Lord is so incredibly important. He is your Creator, right? That is the one person we should be the most personal with. He is our Creator and our Savior. Wherever your struggle is, ask the Lord to give you faith and strength to be submissive in that area. Encourage somebody that's a brother or sister in Christ to come alongside you and encourage you and keep you accountable. The Lord will meet you where you're at when you're desperate for Him. So what are some takeaways this morning? Again, I said it was very practical. So we're going to look at three takeaways and why it's important for our time alone with the Lord. First thing I'll say is establish the proper goal. You ever think about that? Like when you spend time with the Lord, what is the ultimate goal of why you're spending time with the Lord? Because if we're not careful, when we have the goal wrong, we'll miss everything. And so it's important for us to realize, what is the ultimate goal for our time with the Lord? It's to know more about Him. To know more about Him. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this." So what is it that you and I are to boast in? "That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." Man, that's powerful. That of all the things that we are to boast in, not the fact that we've completed a Bible study, filled in a bunch of blanks, read our Bible in a year, listen, those things are good. But the reality is that we can get so busy thinking about all the things we have to accomplish in our time alone with God, and we miss God in the whole process. I love what Henry Blackaby says. He says, "We are so activity-oriented, we assume we are saved for a task to perform rather than a relationship to enjoy." And the question is, are you enjoying that relationship? Are we enjoying that relationship? How often have we had the wrong priority, the wrong goal, and we miss God in the whole process? What the prophet Jeremiah reminds us of from the very word of the Lord is the fact that our goal is to know Him, to know and understand the one who is loving, the one who is just, and the one who is righteous. Think about that for just a moment. Every time you spend time with the Lord, God is escorting us back to Mount Calvary, right? Because at Mount Calvary, it was Jesus who showed us the love of the Father by giving up His life. At Mount Calvary, we see the justice of God. That Jesus Christ Himself bore the full wrath of your sin and my sin. And at the cross, we see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is finished. The final sacrifice has been prepared and has been offered up. When we spend time alone with God, it is a privilege to do so. Do you feel privileged today to know that you have access to God? No other creation has access the way that you and I do in Christ. Nothing else. We don't have to wait till we're adults, right? Sometimes we communicate and create culture like that in the church. Young person, you can do it right now. You can do it right now. Open your Bible, bend your knee, spend time with the Lord. You don't have to wait till you're an adult. And we should be encouraging our young people to do the same. As a follower of Christ, you have just as much access to the Father as I do, or anybody else for that matter. Encourage one another to make sure that the goal is Him and nothing else. Second thing, take away, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. So you've set aside time, you got your pen, you got your paper, you got your Bible, you got all those things, you're ready to rock and roll, right? No. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. It's important for us to posture our heart before Him. Because oftentimes when we go into time alone with God, we have our agenda, right? We have that person we want to fix. We have that situation that we want to override. We have our agenda oftentimes. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. And sometimes we do and we're so prideful we still go with it, right? But we want the Lord to open our eyes to the beauty of His Word. That's what the psalmist says. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Listen, if God does not open your eyes to the wonders of His law, no one else can. The song that you listen to, the type of Bible that you read, none of those things. You can have incense going, all those different things. The house can be cleaned. Everything can be great. The smell of coffee or whatever it is. Those things don't give you the insight of the Word of the Lord. Atmosphere matters, but seeking the Lord and opening your eyes, that's what matters. So when you spend time with the Lord, prepare your heart. Lord, I've come here today. Burden. I've come here today. Overwhelmed. Between work, kids, and spouse, Can't do it. Lord, there's so much going on. My heart is burdened for the church. I have a burden for that neighbor. Lord, I only have so much time in the day. And it never seems to be enough. There's so much that I want to do, Lord. And so, Lord, when I open your word today, give me discernment. Give me wisdom. Teach me to prioritize my life. Remind me that my greatest ministry is to my family, no one else. And unless I let the Lord serve and minister to me, which sounds selfish, but it's the best selfishness, then I can't minister to my family. And if I don't minister to my family, I can't minister to the people that God has called me to minister to. And so, Lord, when I look at the things in life, when I look at the news, when I hear the voices, when I see all the disruption and the chaos going, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your word to speak to me. Lord, through the Holy Spirit of God Himself, give me ears that are sensitive to your voice. Lord, as I bring my agenda to the table, and I do, Lord, where my agenda is not your will, Lord, rebuke me. Discipline me. But Lord, please correct that and restore me. So we're preparing our hearts to go before the Lord. None of us have it perfect, right? We spend so much time trying to make quiet time so perfect that oftentimes we're so discouraged that we can't, that we don't do it. Man, just go in with great honesty. Lord, prepare me to hear what you have to show me. The last thing I would say, enjoy his presence. I don't know about you, but sometimes all this work feels like work sometimes. To spend time with the Lord, it robs us of the very reason why we're there. So we're there to know Him, prepare our heart before Him, and guess what? We're there to enjoy Him. There to enjoy Him. The Bible teaches us that we are created for joy in God. We are born to delight in God and all that He is. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Do you hear the joy of the psalmist? He is enjoying the very presence of God in his life. Soak it in. Enjoy it. As you soak in the very presence of God in your quiet time, guess what? You're going to take the presence of God with you wherever you go throughout the day. Treasure it. Treasure it. And be ready to dispense it. Why? Because there's power in the presence of God. When temptation comes, the presence of God gives you power. It reminds us of 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." The presence of God will teach me to be reminded that He has given me a way out. You see, apart from growing in Christ, we'll believe the lie that I have no hope to have victory over the flesh. God's word says something totally different. God's word says as Christians, we don't have to sin. Yes, we will face temptation, but we don't have to sin. We don't have to succumb to it. So what do we go to for our anchor and hope in the midst of temptation? Well, God's word says in 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power, not my effort, not your effort, not my wisdom, not your wisdom, but God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. In my quiet time with the Lord, and in your quiet time with the Lord, you are reminded that everything that you need to reflect and to honor the Lord in speech, action, and thought has already been given to you at the moment of salvation. That's hard to fathom. When the Lord saved me at 19, I already had it all. Everything I needed right there. But I must be reminded of that. That's why God gave us 66 books to teach us about His love, His character, His authority, His strength, His power, His forgiveness, His pursuit of redeeming sinners. All those different things. We are to grow in that grace, His faithfulness. Do you enjoy His presence today in your life? You have the ability in Christ to enjoy God's presence when you're in the doctor's office, when you're sitting at a counseling table because your marriage is starting to break apart, when your finances are not where they want to be, where you want them to be, at night, when it's nothing else but you and the Lord, you have an opportunity to experience the very presence of God and be reminded of what God's Word says. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, stress is everywhere. Stress on the inside, stress on the outside. But yet you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to spend time with the Lord, to know Him above all else. We have the privilege of preparing our heart before Him. We have the privilege of enjoying His presence. Again, are you enjoying His presence today? All of this is part of what happens when you spend time with God. So I encourage you, make it intentional. Allow it to be a priority in your life. Let it be focused time. And let it be personal time. Be honest with Him, because He certainly will be honest with you. As we spend our time in response now, as the praise team leads us in a time of just praising the Lord through song, I just want you to spend time with Him. Maybe something has been said this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been drawing you to a place of greater dependency on the Lord. As you consider God time, time with the Lord, where's your greatest obstacle? Your greatest step of faith today is to turn that obstacle over to Him. And maybe you have five obstacles, one at a time, one at a time.